Morning, everyone. Great to be here once more. Christianity Magazine, for the first 20 who get there, a free copy. I commend it to you. It's a good read. I do commend it to you. This is a great series, isn't it? I think it's a very wise series. What's the point? It's good to ask questions. That's the point. And I say that with a particular feeling. I think when I was a teenager, I got the feeling people didn't want me to ask questions. They certainly didn't want me to ask my difficult questions. I had a very strong feeling. I was just supposed to accept the way things were. But I think that's unhealthy. We all have questions, and we need to ask them. We need them to be taken seriously, and quite clearly from your response to the notices at the beginning, the issue of church meetings is one that arouses a response. I haven't heard a response to a title of a sermon like that for a while. So what's the point of the church meeting? It's a really good question. I'm very, very happy to address it. We live in days, and I really praise the Lord for this, where we work with huge ease with people of other denominations. I mean, that for me, I just think that's brilliant. I was brought up in a large Baptist church which looked very similar to this. The gallery actually didn't go. This is just a posh gallery going all the way around. But there was the gallery there, and the design of the church was exactly the same. Basically an organ warehouse, you know. Similar Gothic design and all the rest of it. On the other side of the road was a Roman Catholic church. And we knew them to be on the other side of everything. Nobody ever suggested to me that any of them were Christians who went to that church. That wasn't possible. They were Roman Catholics. They're on the other side of everything. And indeed, to be honest, most other Christians were on the other side of the road so far as we were concerned. We were a big Baptist church. We knew what we believed. We were confident in our belief. And the others were, sadly, falling short. I'm very glad that we live in more liberated days where we actually see that God is at work all over the place, and we're delighted to work with people of all different denominations. Personally, if somebody says that Jesus is their Lord, I want to work with them. Whatever the trappings of their church, the way in which they do it, and that's been my experience in ministry, whether locally, regionally, nationally, internationally. Wonderful fellowship. My Christian life has been enhanced amazingly, incredibly, through spending time with people who are not Baptists, but who find Jesus Christ as their Lord. And it's brilliant that we're here, a church made up of people from lots of different denominations, and that's brilliant. That's great that we've all come from different places. But this is a Baptist church. This is a Baptist church. And within the Baptist church, the church meeting is really important. And so I need to explain why it's important and where it came from. Because the thing that divides us, whenever you talk to people of other churches, other denominations, you'll find the big thing that still divides us is not Christ, but it's the way in which we make decisions. And some churches, there will be two or three people, two or three leaders, they make all the decisions. That's how it runs. They make the decisions, and there are other churches where the decisions are taken elsewhere. There's a bishop, there's an archbishop. The ruling comes down, and that's what you do, because that's how that church is organized. Baptists rebelled against that kind of thinking 400 years ago and said the way in which we should organize our church life is on the basis of what the Bible says. So we're not just going to hear a man, even if he's called a bishop, and do whatever that man says. We're going to go to the Word of God and see what the Word of God says. And so that's at the heart of how we seek to do church. So, I mean, the vision discovery process that we're excitingly involved in at the moment, very significant. In many churches, the two or three leaders would tell the church what it was. That's it. Go with it. Here, as you've seen, and we'll see increasingly, what we're saying is we believe the Holy Spirit of God works through everyone. So we really do want to hear what you are hearing God say to you. because we believe that's how God works. So, all of what we're saying now relies on the fact that we are body. We belong to one another. Hear these verses again. Just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members don't all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us, and so on. So as we read the Bible, what we're learning is we all contribute to the whole. We're all part of what God is doing in this place. We're all gifted. We're all gifted, whether you're loud, whether you're quiet, whether you've been a Christian 5 minutes or 50 years, it doesn't matter. If you're a Christian, you've got a gift. God has given you a gift. And what we seek to do in this church is to embrace and to celebrate those gifts and to use them to God's glory. And so it is that we have something called membership. Not every church has this. In the Church of England, and this is why at the time, and things have changed, but the way in which things were organised was that if you were baptised as a baby, christened, if you'd had that service, then you're automatically a part of the church. And everybody in a parish was expected to go to the local Church of England church. And Baptists in the 17th century said, no, that isn't what a church is. It's not just made up of people who've been through a ceremony. The church is made up of people who believe in Jesus, who have a personal faith in Jesus. And believers' baptism, again, something we do because we read it in the Bible, we have believers' baptism as a way of saying, this is what God has asked us to do. This is a sign that we belong to Jesus. So membership is really important. You have your personal relationship with Jesus, but as a result of that personal relationship, we learn you're part of the body. You belong. So being a member of this church isn't just an organizational nicety. It's a spiritual reality. It's a spiritual declaration. This is probably a very good sermon for me to preach because I don't know all of you by any means, and I don't know where you stand on these things. But let me make it clear. If you love Jesus Christ as your Saviour and Lord, if you tick that, if you love Jesus as your Saviour and Lord, and if you believe God is calling you now to be a part of this church and to use your gifts here, you should be a member because that's what membership is. It's not more complicated than that. It's those two things. If you're a Christian, committed to Jesus as Lord, secondly, you believe this is your church and you're committed to being here, then I would encourage you to become a member of this church. That will be true of the majority of you who are regular attenders here, but I do urge you to think about that if you're not a member at the moment. So, membership. How then do we make decisions? When we come together for a church meeting, we're not trying to be, and this is a crucial statement, we're not trying to be a democracy. We're not doing some political exercise where we say, oh, well, everybody must have their say. It's not that. We are what we would choose to call a Christocracy. The one who rules this church is not the minister. It's not a bishop, not an organization somewhere else. The one who rules this church is Christ. And so when we meet together for a church meeting, what we're saying, and we do say it every one of those meetings, we want Christ to make the decisions. How do you do that? By listening to one another, by listening for the voice of the Spirit, by allowing the body to be the body and to say what we hear God saying to us. That doesn't mean it's necessarily easy to be a part of a church meeting because we often have difficult decisions to take. But the important thing is we realise that what we're doing is coming not to have our say, which is what people often say about the church meeting, We've come together to have our listen. Come together to listen to what other people think and say. Come together to listen, more importantly, for the voice of the Spirit. That's what the church meeting is all about. And so it is that when we make decisions, like the calling of a minister, it's not going to be two or three people in a corner somewhere making a decision. It comes to all the members, and we will value what everybody thinks. And most of you will know what the process is, but when we find somebody we think it's appropriate, they will come and they will preach. And we will have the opportunity of reflecting on that, and if we feel it's right, we'll invite them to come and preach with a view to the pastorate. And all the members will have the opportunity of voting. That is to say, listening to what the Lord is saying and then deciding together what to do. This is very different from other churches. Delighted as I am that we have such close fellowship with other churches, in moments like this, making appointments, we are very different from other churches. I've got many brilliant friends in the Church of England, and I think of one particular friend who was minister of a very large evangelical Anglican church. He was appointed to that church by the two church wardens. They were the ones who made the decision. They took some soundings, but they were the ones who made the decision. And one of them said to him, after he'd been there about a week, one of the church wardens said to him, "Well, Alan, I honestly couldn't make up my own mind, and my friends seem very sure of it, so that's why you've come." That's amazing, isn't it? This is a church of 400 or 500 people, which we've now learnt one person decided it was a good idea. That couldn't happen here. That couldn't happen here. And I have to say, as a minister, I'm really grateful for that. That when I've been called to be the minister of a local church, it's been the whole church who said, "We believe that this is what God wants." So this is really important stuff. This is not just a sort of bit of procedure. This is about us seeking to live in step with the Holy Spirit of God. So we began with membership, committed to membership. And I do really encourage, though I don't know where to look, but those of you who haven't become a member, I'd love you to be part of the journey, to make that commitment and say, "Yeah, I want to be part of this church." Let's go on a step then. If we're part of the church, we need to play our full part in its life. And I love the way in which Paul describes this. His Greek language is more inclusive than what we hear here, which sounds all very sexist, doesn't it? If a man's gift... It's if a person's gift is not excluding women at any point. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If a person's gift is prophesying, let them use it in proportion to their faith. If it's serving, let them serve. If it's teaching, let them teach. If it's encouraging, let them encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let them govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let them do it cheerfully. What I'm hearing him saying is, you've got a gift, now get on and use it. Whatever it may be. And he's not saying here's the exhaustive list. He's saying here are a few things. This may be your gift. If that's your gift, give your best to it. Do it enthusiastically. Do it cheerfully. Make sure you're doing it to the best of your ability, not just doing it because I suppose it's my turn, but doing it as if that could happen, but doing it because of the joy of serving God and building his church. Be the best. I wonder what that's saying to you as you reflect, those of you, many of you, who are members of this church. The Lord is saying, be the best. Be the best you can be. Don't just get by, don't just do enough. Be the best you can be. And Paul specifically refers to contributing to the needs of others. Do it generously, he says. One of the parts of being part of the body of Christ, being part of the body of Christ, is we need to be willing to give. And I do encourage all of you to reflect hard on your giving. The reason for this, Martin Luther, I think, put it best. He said there are two conversions. There's the conversion of the heart, and then he said there is the conversion of the purse. And it's certainly my experience that those two things are normally separated in time. People will become Christians, and then some while later the penny will drop about giving. That may not have been so for you, and that's brilliant. If you've got it all in one package, that must be the best. But certainly in my experience, and probably in many of yours, actually it takes some while to get this point about giving. Remember where that reading began that Alan read to us? I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. He's talking about giving all that we have to God, giving our whole selves to him. And I urge you to look very carefully at what you give to God. What we give in the plate, what you give by direct transfer or however you do it, the money that we give is really important because it represents what's going in our hearts. Can I say to you, particularly those of you who give by standing order, first of all, big thank you, brilliant, but actually be very careful as well, because it's very easy, because it's there and it's automatic, actually no longer to be thinking through what you're doing. And it is a matter of fact that many standing orders stay the same for year after year after year after year. That suggests a thoughtlessness to me, because our money doesn't stay the same from year to year. And I just urge you to look at your giving. I'm not going to come out with a law which says you should give a certain percentage. I was brought up, and I thank God for this, I was brought up by godly parents who talked about, from my earliest days, they talked about their tithe. Not only did they talk about their tithe, we had a tithing box, and it was in the dining room, and it was in the sideboard. And what a wonderful testimony was, it was always the richest place in the house. This wooden box was, and if we ran out of money, and famously when the milkman came on a Friday, and my mother didn't have the money to pay, we always knew Jesus had the money. And he'd always be paid back, but he was the wealthiest bloke around. There was no question about it. But what that said to me as a child was, that is centrally important. That is what the Lord receives. That's at the heart of all that we do. They did operate a tithe, a strict tithe. Am I saying you should give a tithe? No, I'm not. I am saying you should give proportionately. There was a lovely moment in the last church of which I was a minister, where I preached on tithing, and a friend of ours was visiting, an RAF chaplain. He was sitting at the back, and I preached and I said, maybe the Lord is not calling you to give a tithe. And he said, it was fascinating, my friend, he said, it's fascinating. As you said that, maybe the Lord is not calling you to give a tithe. He said, you could see people just relax. He said, where you blew it was your next sentence when you said, maybe the Lord is calling you to give 20%. And they all went tight again. But I really mean it. 20%, 30%, whatever. It's not about a particular proportion. It is about giving thoughtfully, sacrificially. Seriously, how much does it cost you to give what you give to the Lord? We should not dare to give him something which costs us nothing. Give proportionately. That's the thing I won't negotiate with. Look carefully at what you earn, what you're able to give, and give generously to God. So this sermon, in my view, is all about action. If you're not a church member, I urge you to think about church membership. If you're not baptized as a believer and you love Jesus, it would be fantastic if you were to take the step of being baptized, because that's what we believe to be foundational to our life as a church, people who believe in Jesus and have been baptized. We welcome people from other traditions. Be clear about that. Not everybody in this church is baptized as a believer. But as a Baptist church, we want to commend what we believe to be the biblical pattern that God has set down for us. So there's something to do. If you're not a member, think about becoming a member. If you are a member, I just ask you this question. Are you giving your best to it? Are you looking at this, these commands that Paul says? And, you know, if you're an encourager, are you really encouraging? If you're a teacher, are you really using that teaching gift? If you are contributing to the needs of others, are you doing it as generously as you can? Whatever God has called you to do, are you doing the best you can do? So that on membership and being baptized. But I ask you, perhaps particularly, and all of you, to review your giving. One of the reasons I do this, and I'm delighted that we structure our churches in the way that we do, and that most of our churches do not have huge investments behind them. I have to say, those churches I've found that are wealthy, and there are some wealthy Baptist churches around, not a lot, I've found that actually when they have been very wealthy and have a huge amount of money in the bank, it's been a spiritual damper. It's not been helpful. Why? Because it's good for us as members to have a sense of responsibility, to share a sense of ownership for what we do. I love the way in which we do money in this church. Bless you for your giving. It's fantastic giving, and I praise God for that. But the reality is there isn't a lot of money around, and actually, as we look at the next couple of years, we are planning for a deficit budget. So we're living there or thereabouts. What I'm saying to you is let's invest together in the work of the kingdom. Let's look carefully at our giving and say, are we really giving our best? Maybe you are. Of course, that's a possibility. And I want to rejoice with you if you look at your giving and say, yeah, I feel proud of what I'm giving. That's absolutely what I need to give to God. That, you know, hear the well done. But if you know you're not in that place, then I urge you to take action. Not as a procedural, organisational thing, but out of the love of Jesus and because we want his kingdom to grow. So, and I hope I always say this, when you ask a good question, what's the point of the church meeting? I want to say thank you for asking the question, because it's a brilliant question. And if you have other questions on other things, or perhaps on this issue, please hear that I'm always the person who loves to hear sharp questions. You know, that just keeps my brain ticking over. So please feel free. But thank you for asking this important question. What's the point of the church meeting? Because I believe it's at the heart of what God wants us to do and to be as his people here in Eastleigh. May the Lord help you to hear whatever sharp, practical challenge there was in that message for you. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you love us so much that you keep challenging us. And Lord, I pray that we will take it on the chin and we will receive whatever challenge you've delivered to us this morning. Lord, we want to give our best to you. Forgive us if we have got a bit sloppy. Forgive us if we got a bit distracted. Help us, Lord, to know what it means to be everything you want us to be for you in this church. Lord, keep speaking to us. Tell us by your Spirit what it is we need to know so that we might be, day by day, the best for you. In Jesus' name, amen. If the Lord's been speaking to you in a particular way and you'd find it helpful to pray with somebody, we'd love to pray with you. That's why we're here. So just come to the front at the end, and maybe one of the issues I've talked about, maybe something else, but do know that there's a group of folk who would love to pray with you if you would find that helpful. We conclude our worship as we sing together a great hymn of confidence in the future that God has for us. Lord, for the years your love has kept and guided. Our